This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. It's good to be back with you folks. Many of you don't really realize how much I appreciate this little broadcast, being able to come in your homes there, sometime eat breakfast with you, sometime drink a cup of coffee, sometime maybe be back on the back 40, mowing the grass, or penning up the cattle, or whatever, out there on the old 18-wheeler on the old double nickel or I-70 somewhere. It's just good to have you folks with us, and I feel like we're family. So I wish you'd sit down and write me, let me know that you're listening, and tell me if you appreciate the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Excuse me. We're bringing you a series of studies on the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we're all way down now, about halfway through, maybe a little further. But we're looking now during the tribulation period. We come there to the middle of the tribulation period, the 3.5 years. Now, these days, according to God's word, will be awful days. The darkest hour of this world's history, when Satan, through the Antichrist, will rule the world during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. I rejoice, I'm happy, that the church, or may I say the believers, of this age of grace, we'll not pass through that time. No, all of this is to come that I've been bringing you. All of these studies is things that are going to happen on this earth. But you and I, if you know the Lord, we're not going to be involved in that. No, before the Antichrist is revealed or comes on the scene, the Lord Jesus will have descended into the heavens with a shout, with the bark of the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then every born-again believer living will be translated according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. We'll be given his new body without dying, and both will be caught up together to meet Christ in the air. Now, my friend, are you saved? I hardly ever bring a message here from my pulpit that I don't ask this question. Do you know the Lord? Are you saved? Because why? Why do you do that, Trailblazer? Because that's the most important thing that is ever to take place in your life or my life or any other life, is to come to know the Lord. It doesn't matter how much you pile up on this earth. It doesn't matter how sociably fit you are. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. Just so you come to know the Lord. Not that you join some church. Not that you shake some preacher's hand. No, but that you come to know the Lord. But those of us who know the Lord, we're not going through the tribulation period. No, sir. I have friends who, they call themselves these amillennialists, and they're educated and smart people, but they just deceived. But we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Now, my friend, I ask you again, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and then your Savior? Have you ever been awakened to your lost condition? Oh, you say, there you go, Trailblazer, talking about being awakened, and we don't even know what that means. Well, just let me give you a little short story about being awakened. Every sinner, every individual who comes into this life, comes into here, born into this world, born of a woman with sin. Sin has separated you from God. Now, I know that's sometimes folks don't want to believe that because, you know, you take a little innocent individual, comes up morally clean, joins a church, lives a clean life. Oh, well, you know, they went on to be with the Lord. No, not unless they were awakened to their lost condition and come to know the Lord. I asked you, have you ever been awakened? Have you ever been made to see that you're guilty before God? The scripture says sin has separated you from God. Now, go there and read Romans 8:19. Have you ever come to see that you have no righteousness at all of your own? Read Romans 10:1. And then there's that, have you ever seen that you're a hell-deserving sinner? I ask you these pointed questions, my friend. Have you ever been brought down, broken at the feet of a sovereign God? And you say, oh, there you go, Trailblazer, talking about the sovereignty of God. Yes, sir, God is sovereign. He does as he pleases, no matter who you are or what you are. Have you ever had the veil lifted from your heart and seen that Christ died for you? That's a gracious time, my friend, just to be awakened, brought to see yourself as a sinner. It's no shame to be a sinner, my friend, a lost sinner. No, sir, because only the Lord only saves sinners. He said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, have you ever seen that your sins were paid for in Christ? Oh, I asked you that. Have you ever come to see that your sins are blotted out by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you stand now now, wherever you stand, wherever you sit there in your easy chair, wherever you are, that you stand forgiven before God, according to Ephesians 1:7, justified in His presence, accepted in Christ the Beloved, and made a child of God by adoption? Oh, go read Romans 8:15. And then have you looked into His face and said, my Father and my God? Oh, my friend, every individual who knows the Lord has done that thing, and I thank the Lord for salvation in Christ. I wish I could shout it around the world. I know that the Lord called us to preach the gospel, and that's what we do day after day, time after time. So that brings us now to this study on Satan himself. I believe this will be a gracious study. I wish you'd perk up your ears and listen. Call your folks over across the fence and say, the old Trailblazer's on with a gracious study, speaking about Satan himself. You know, most folks deny Satan, deny that there is a Satan. They deny, they tell the kiddies that he's an individual with a long red flannel underwear suit on with pointed ears and a long tail and a pitchfork. No, my friend, that's not. We mentioned in our last study or two that Satan was the highest appointed angel. He was the head of the angelic host there in heaven. But listen, in our last study, we saw the two great signs in heaven, the sun-clothed woman and the great red dragon. The woman represented Israel, and the red dragon represented Satan. With your Bibles in hand now, if you will, let's begin reading at Revelation 12:7. We're there in the 12th chapter now. We've come down to the 7th verse. Now, I want you to read. I want you to listen. If you can't follow along, just listen. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. At this time during the tribulation period, war is seen in heaven. From the scriptures here, we see it as a mighty conflict. John said that war was in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there any place found any more in the heaven. Up until this time, it seems that Satan had been waging the war. But the tide turns now, and Michael, the archangel, and the one who is delegated as the guardian of Israel, takes the initiative. He opens war against Satan, his angels, to drive him out of heaven. How long this battle lasts, we don't know. But we do know that Michael will prevail, and Satan and all of his angels will be cast out of the heavenlies and take up their abode directly upon the earth. No wonder they said that 12th verse says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. All through the book of Revelation, we've been meeting this character, Satan. He holds a prominent place throughout the entire book because it is a revelation of our Lord victorious over the arch enemy Satan, the old devil who deceiveth the whole world, according to 1 John 5:19. At this point now, in our study, we want to take time out and give you a study on Satan himself, who he is, where he came from, what he is doing, and what will be his final doom. Now, I believe with all of my heart that many of you out there are like me. You're interested to know where this character come from. And I want to recommend a good book to you at this time by Brother Larkin, Clarence Larkin. We have it in the bookstore. If you write me, I'll quote you a price on it. It's called the Spirit World. And it is the most interesting, most informative book on the end time, the future of this world, and Satan himself that I've ever read. And it's The Spirit World by Clarence Larkin. You can write us or email us, and I believe we have some on hand. We'll quote you a price and send them to you. We have delayed this study to give it at this point in our study. We know what we know about Satan is revealed in God's eternal word, the Bible, and it is the only true source of the revelation of Satan. May I say here in the beginning of this study, for you to disagree with me is just one man disagreeing with another. But for you to take opposition with the word of God, you must deal with him. You must deal with him, Jehovah, who is the author of the scriptures. And I know we're living in a day when the verbal inspiration of God's word is made light of, ignored, and disbelieved, and that the Bible is looked upon only fiction and not the inerrant, verbally inspired, absolute, eternal word of God. Let me make this one clear fact, this one fact very clear to the hearts of you listeners. The Bible, the word of God, is verbally inspired, inerrant, eternal, unchangeable, and I believe it. And when I appeal to God's word, to me it is the final authority. And I'll rest everything that I say on it. When an individual says he does not believe the Bible or that it is not his word, listen, either he's a liar or God is a liar. As far as I'm personally concerned, we let every man be a liar, but God's word be true, and God cannot lie. Now, we'll get into our study there on Satan himself in our next study, but I want to remind you that God's word, right now, as we speak, is being whittled to pieces, it's being whittled to pieces, it's being watered down. I saw in the news the other day a periodical where they have a Bible coming out now, I forgot the name of it, but it's depicting Christ as a woman. As a woman, my friend. Can you believe that? In our bookstore, we have calls for every kind of a Bible you could think of. NIV, all of those things, New International Version of the RSV Bible, and then we have people wanting the African American Women Bible. All of those things, my friend, and I've read that, I've scanned through some of them, and there's nothing but Tommy rot. There's nothing but trash there. You won't find God's word there. It's all watered down. So you get one of those versions and compare it line for line with your King James Version Bible. In many places, it just blatantly destroys the word of God. In one place, it talks about the Lord being born of a young woman instead of a virgin. A lot of difference in a young woman and a virgin, isn't it? Taking away the deity of our Lord. Yes, sir. And once you do that, two or three generations do that, then the children come up, they don't know what to read, what to believe. But we read and study only the King James Version Bible. That's all we sell in the bookstore. And we're criticized about it. Old lady, women come in, my pastor uses the NIV. My pastor, no, it doesn't matter to me what your pastor uses. This is God's word that I hold in my hand. You can believe it and be saved, disbelieve it, scoff at it, ridicule it, and go to hell for your trouble. I don't have any problem telling you, my friend, unless you believe God's word, you'll never be saved. No, sir, you can't do that. The word, it's the word of God, it's the truth. And it cannot lie. God cannot lie, my friend. But I wish you would think about your soul, and you never get saved unless you come to know the Lord. And you never come to know the Lord unless the Lord called you. Did you know you could ask the Lord, Lord, call me. Lord, open my heart. Awaken me, Lord. Show me Christ. And then there's two prayers you can pray. Lord, show me myself, and then show me Christ. Remember, this is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer. Remember, my mailing address is the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye, and God bless you.